Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Health Happens podcast. I'm Mike Frasina. That's Chris Pickerel.
Hello, everyone. Yet again, another episode of the Health Happens podcast coming your way.
Yeah, man. You ready for today?
I am ready for every day.
I'm very excited about this topic.
You're more excited about this topic than I am, for sure.
Yeah. I'm excited that we're finally doing this.
You make it sound like it's really crazy controversial.
It's not crazy controversial, but no. I've actually wanted to dig into this and do this research myself for quite a while. So,
well, in that case, Mike, why don't you tell us, why are we talking about it?
We're talking about it because I get a lot of questions. I honestly, this comes up a lot when I teach.
Yeah,
all the time. And people are asking about the different types of sugars, and it comes up when people are talking about toxins and things like mm-hmm. that, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about fructose.
We are. Today. We're going to talk about fructose.
Fructose?
I don't think it matters.
Tomato, tomato?
Yeah, I think it's about the same.
All right.
Oysters, oysters.
Nobody says oysters.
Yeah, there's that song. Shouldn't.
That's wrong.
That Louis Armstrong song where they say tomato, tomato, where all of that comes from. The second verse is, you say oysters, I say oysters.
Well, that's just wrong.
I know. I kind of thought they were stretching a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a classic Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald duets. They did a lot of them.
I don't know about you guys. I'm talking specifically to Louis and Ella right now.
All right. I hope they don't send us any mail.
I doubt they will. So we're going to talk about fructose fructose. And the question is it worse than other sugars?
It's a good question. Yeah. I mean, it's why we're doing an episode on it. We're going to unpack that a little bit.
Because a lot of people say yes.
They do. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say no as well, though.
A lot of people say no. And we're going to sort through all that and find out who's right and who's wrong. And I think too that it's much more than that, really. As I started doing some reading, I came across a few pretty cool conspiracy theories.
Oh, big time.
And when I say cool, I mean, man, you guys are nuts. But no offense if you believe this.
No offense if you're nuts.
Yeah, no offense if you're nuts.
We will take it from everyone.
But you know, like there's a conspiracy to keep America fat through the food industry and all this stuff, and it's all high fructose corn syrup.
I blame Iowa personally.
Iowa? Yeah, they're notoriously evil Iowa, I believe.
Iowa corn
aren't
syrup.
Are they potato farmers, not so much?
No, they're corn farmers. Are you kidding? Oh yeah, big time. That's like all that grows out there. The Midwest, I think that's all they do.
All right.
They just squeeze corn to get the sweetness out of it.
Yep, and that's pretty close to how it happens, right?
That's what I think.
So where do we start with this, Chris? Where do we start with fructose? Why don't we do a little bit of background on sugar and the different types of sugars and
just
put in context, what is fructose?
You want to start with the boring part so early where you talk for a long time?
I don't think I have to talk for a long time about this one.
No, you're right. And you're right. This is, if we are going to have this discussion tonight, we definitely need to know a little bit about what we're talking about. Sugars, go. Science.
Yeah. So, the science about it is, you know, we all know table sugar. Right? The stuff that comes out of the
from
bag,
tables.
From that you put a bag of sugar on your table. Isn't that why they call it table sugar?
Yes.
No, you put it in a sugar bowl.
You do.
But on your table to put in your coffee. Anyway, we're familiar with those white crystals. And those crystals are made up of what, Chris?
Those crystals, when you add a little bit of flavor to them, are called pixie sticks. And you get them at the convenience store for, I don't know, maybe a nickel. And you see how many you and your
how
friends can eat.
How old are you? A nickel, Chris.
Well, back then, they were a nickel.
So table sugar is made up of sucrose.
Which is made up of two primary sugars, glucose and fructose.
Glucose and fructose in a 50-50 ratio, right? Yeah. Each molecule of sucrose contains one glucose and one fructose. And that's the sugar that we have been eating for centuries.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it comes from sugarcane and it comes from sugar beets, mainly.
Yes, you're right.
Correct? So that's where it comes from. Fructose is one of those two sugars, and the body deals with it a little bit differently than sugar.
Glucose.
Than glucose. Yes. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Yes. So glucose gets taken up pretty much by every cell, and every cell can use it for energy.
Well, glucose is the primary fuel of the body, Mike.
It is.
You know that.
It is. And fructose is, although it's very, very similar in chemical composition, it's used a little bit differently. Fructose goes straight to your liver.
Yes.
And
they have to take off the FR component.
Right.
To replace it with the GL.
And then you get the glucose.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly how it happens. But basically what happens is your liver has to process fructose a little bit. So what happens is basically fructose is used to replenish your glycogen stores and to make triglycerides, whereas yes. glucose is used for energy.
Yeah, this isn't fully accurate, but it's kind of close. Glucose is used for, as much as possible, instant energy. Fructose is converted to glucose, used for energy as needed. But fructose is also converted into the storage form and then used for, sometimes converted into fat,
mm-hmm.
and then used for storage.
Yeah, so any extra, once you've topped out your glycogen stores, do you remember how much glycogen you store?
Oh, yeah, like a ton.
It's about 150 grams in the average person is how much you're storing.
Which is a lot.
It is quite a bit. That'll get you through a little while anyway.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you remember this from your Speedo days, but there was that whole idea of carb loading was to load your muscles with glycogen.
Yep.
So they had a ready fuel source.
Yep, I definitely remember that from swimming days and from running days as well. They're all, everybody's into carb loading.
Yeah, which, sure. Well, looking back, probably was a terrible idea.
Like
a big pasta meal.
Yeah, the way they talked about it, I don't think they thought that through. But in theory, it makes a lot of sense, right? Sure. Top up your stores so you have that reserve energy. But anyway, fructose tops up your stores. That's what it's meant.
Yep.
That's the primary, I think, thing that it does when you absorb it. And then all the extra goes into producing triglycerides, which can be used as energy as well.
Which is very interesting. I feel like, although that's fairly basic biochemistry, and it is fairly basic biochemistry, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people don't know that simple fact that when you overconsume sugar, it will be stored and produce fats.
I honestly came across so many what I thought were good articles of very smart people saying very dumb things like sugar is sugar. It doesn't matter. Your body doesn't know the difference. Your body does know the difference.
Oh, yeah. Of course
clearly.
It does.
Clearly. It does.
It's the fundamental cell fuel of the cell. Like it absolutely knows the difference.
Yeah, there was this guy who was like a chemist too, and he was breaking it down. And he was talking. The only difference is this bond here and that bond there, and it contains one of those. And it's like there's no difference. They're essentially the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing in your body. There's no difference. Anybody who tells you otherwise is crazy. You're crazy, man.
Well, I mean, it's true. That's a chemist could view it very simply from that. Point,
but sure, and chemically, yeah. If you draw it on paper, they look very similar. But that's,
a biochemist,
yeah,
or a physiologist knows that they're very different.
Yeah,
a cell biologist,
exactly. And that's exactly what I said as I was to myself a little bit out loud too while I was reading this thing. I was like, "But that's not biochemistry. That's chemistry."
Yeah.
Okay, I got a little worked up.
Yeah, you do. You get a little worked up. That's mm-hmm. funny, Mike.
Yes, Chris.
Let's answer some questions. We're starting to do that. Is there anything else? Actually, I want to step back. I do have some. I think there are some exciting questions to get into today. But what else do we need to know about sugar as a baseline?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about, if I may, the history of sugar and sucrose and why we get so much more fructose in our diet now than we used to. Because that much is very, very true. We do get way more fructose than we used to.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. So why, Chris?
I blame Iowa.
Iowa, you're not far off. It really is. It's high fructose corn syrup.
Yes.
To a large extent, it's high fructose corn syrup. There are other reasons as well, and we can touch on those too. But a big part of it is high fructose corn syrup that is used as an additive in our foods as a sweetener.
Yeah.
Because it's super cheap.
Yeah. I mean, you've just said it there. And you know, this is the crazy thing about so much of this. You're right. Like corn is a fairly nutritious food when you eat it as a food.
Meh.
Well, okay, debatable, but it's a food, right?
Yeah,
like it's a food. It's not like eating corn is not bad for you.
Meh.
Well, it's not the worst. Come on.
It's not the worst.
Like it's a vegetable. It's not bad.
It's not a vegetable. It's a grain.
That's true. That's grain. Okay.
You're just striking out all over the place, Chris.
I'm just trying to get something going for corn here. I'm trying to suggest.
You're not
going to
get a lot of corn sympathy out of me.
I'm not a big fan. Why don't you like corn?
I don't like the taste of it, first of all. But also, I do think I see a lot of corn-related illness. That sounds weird.
Oh, you see a lot of corn-related illness.
But I think I see a lot of...
Bunions and corns?
No, that was good. That's a good joke. I should use that. No, I think it's a big factor in autoimmune disease. I do.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that on the side. I actually think it's a little overrated as a food sensitivity. That's my personal thought. We'll unpack that further. But
okay, can I go further though?
You can,
there's not a whole lot to corn, right? Like it's starch. Yeah. Like, that's kind of it.
Well, it's starch and yellow. Great?
No, I don't know.
Well, it's great if you put some butter and salt and pepper on there.
It's delicious, but it's not good for you.
Well, I didn't. Well, okay, fine. Fine. We're not
here to debate corn.
No, I wasn't expecting this digression at all.
Neither was I.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was suggesting that it was we humans that are to blame for high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, I can get behind that. Yeah,
we had such a sweet tooth for sugary drinks, mostly. That's where a lot of it goes, and desserts and other things. But really, like cheap, it's mostly used in cheap. Sugary foods.
It's mostly in cheap sugary foods like sugary sweetened drinks.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things. But more so than that, it's a North American thing more than anything else in the rest of the world because of economic tariffs that were put on basically sugar beets and sugar cane because we don't really grow those too much in North America.
I don't think we can grow.
Maybe sugar beets.
I don't think grows here at all.
Anyway, the point is that we have to import sugar, so they put pretty big tariffs on it to make it pretty expensive.
Because they knew we were hooked.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. You need sugar. You love sugar.
Yeah.
And so we said, screw you guys. We can make sugar out of corn.
Yeah.
Actually, it was the Japanese who came up with it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think there were some sugar plantations in the southern U.S.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But I know a lot of it is Caribbean. Yep. A lot of it is equatorial. Yep. But I mean, you know, massive things have happened because of some of this. I mean, a lot of slavery was due to sugar plantations.
For sure.
There was did you ever watch that movie? It was about the guy who stopped slavery, the MP from England. Amazing Grace, it was called. I saw it on a bus in Mexico.
No.
It was weird. It was like wedged between Alvin and the Chipmunks and and like mostly kid movies. And then there was just this one very adult, very like in English movie on a bus in Mexico. But that was what drove the slave trade for a number of years was the need for slaves to work on sugar plantations.
Yeah, I did know that. I did a lot of reading into the history of Cuba and stuff like that, and that drove it a ton.
Which is insane because sugar is a totally unnecessary human indulgence.
Unnecessary, sure.
Like that blows my mind. We went to the point of enslaving other humans to produce sugar just because we wanted sweets.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like that, I think about that now, and it blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
For something that's not, like, we're not talking about water. We're not talking about foodstuffs.
No, it's not. It's not a necessity. Like
it's not even close. It's an evil. It's a pernicious evil.
It's an indulgence.
No, don't get me wrong. I like sweet things. They're good. And I'm happy. I don't know. I hope if I had been around back then, I wouldn't have eaten sugar. But I'm happy now that it comes at least reasonably produced.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Probably. Yeah, exactly. Maybe I need to look at what's going on in Iowa.
Right. In Iowa, the corn producers.
The corn belt.
Let's reel it back in.
Yeah, no, you're right. We need to come back to it.
For sure. So, yes.
We're getting political.
All of these tariffs were placed on it, and America basically said, we're not paying those stupid prices for sugar. We'll get our own sweetener because we can make sugar from corn. So they did, and it's a little bit different. It's not the same as sucrose.
No.
Because sucrose, like you said, is glucose and fructose bonded together
for life
to form a crystal. Yes.
Until they get into your liver.
Until they get into your liver. Well, no, until they get into your digestive tract. They're actually broken there and then they're absorbed separately. But in high fructose corn syrup, they're not bound together in the suspension.
Fructose and fructose, you mean?
Fructose and glucose are swimming separately.
They swim?
They swim.
I didn't know they had flagella.
Freely, they do.
That's not true. You just said something that was not true.
You're right. I think most people knew that glucose and fructose do not have flagella.
Chris, stop saying things. They do.
So the point is you don't have to break down a sucrose molecule into its monosaccharide. You can just absorb it freely. The other difference is that there's a little bit more fructose in most high fructose corn syrup. It contains about 55% fructose to 45%
or 42 glucose. I think we saw.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. Yeah. Is that there's another form, they call it fructose or high fructose
they
corn
were both,
syrup 42.
Yeah.
And it contains 42% fructose, which is lower than sucrose. So why is it high fructose corn syrup?
We're not sure.
If it's
we lower? Did try to look it up. We ran into Iowa and Nebraska pretty quickly, but they didn't really tell us much.
Yeah, oh, Nebraska. That's it. Those are the corn huskers.
Yeah,
is it, right?
Yeah, the corn huskers, right? The Nebraska corn huskers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Midwest.
It is the women. Yeah, it's all the Midwest. So that's the difference, basically. Okay, so you don't have to break it down, and it's free-floating, and there's a little bit more in most of the fructose. Most of the high-fructose corn syrup that is used in industry is the 55%, right?
Yep, okay. Any more science or historical background?
No. Okay. Where else does fructose come from, though?
Fruits.
Fruits, yeah. It's the main sugar in fruit.
Yeah, it's the naturally occurring main sugar in fruit. Mm-hmm. And if it's natural, it can't be bad, so I don't see why
course,
we have a problem.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't see why we have a problem here.
Yes, they can't see us winking.
My fingers are totally crossed.
I was just joking, guys. Yeah, fructose is okay. Anyway, so also it comes from honey.
Yep, honey and maple syrup and agave.
Oh, agave.
Yeah, we're going to get back to that one.
Yeah, okay.
No, go for it now. Tell the people, Mike.
Okay, so remember high fructose corn syrup has 55% fructose, which
that.
Is pretty high,
yeah.
Right? Way higher than sucrose at its 50%. Agave nectar has somewhere between 55 and 97% fructose.
The 97% is the good stuff.
That's crazy, man.
It is crazy, right?
Yeah.
That's so sweet. Agave is very sweet.
It is very sweet. Yes, because chemically, fructose is a little bit sweeter than glucose.
Yeah. And to get all the way back to the beginning, why are we talking about this? I didn't expect your answer. I don't see a lot of corn-related illness in my practice, but I do get the question a lot. So UNDs always say, oh, minimize sugar, avoid sugar, don't have sugar, cut sugar out for 3 weeks. The question that always follows is, what about fruit? And it's, and you mean even agave, even honey, even
right.
maple syrup?
Yeah, those are okay, right?
Yeah, exactly. Those are fine though, right? I can still add some agave to my coffee in the morning.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah.
You can't.
No, you can't. Well, not after listening to this episode, no. You can't.
Honey might be the softest, the closest you can get to an exception is a little bit of honey, but I still say no. You just, no is the answer.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, just, for the next 3 weeks, you're going to have no sugar, and it's going to be tough. Plan for it.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah,
it's all the same. Maple syrup doesn't make it better just because you tapped a tree and that came out.
Yeah, but you know what I'm kind of into? I had some this year. Is maple water. So instead of boiling it down to maple syrup, you just drink the lifeblood sap of the tree, and it's good. It's refreshing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've never tried it.
I've wondered about it for a while because I've thought like, well, what if I don't have 14 hours to reduce this down to a sticky delight? Can I just drink the juice?
Sticky delight.
Did you ever go to maple syrup shacks when
you
were a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are great.
And they just like pour it in the snow.
Yeah. The hot stuff on the snow and then you eat it. Oh,
this is a very Canadian podcast all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's true. And we both totally went for it too. Like, oh yeah, maple syrup's the best.
It's true. It's true. Just lick it right off a beaver.
Okay. So I wanted to add, part of the reason that I wanted to talk about it is to say those are not sugar substitutes. Those are sugar still.
Oh, I like you saying that. Yeah. They're not sugar substitutes. No. They're sugar.
Yep. You can like them and you can have them in your regular life if you want. It's not really, it is maybe a problem. We're going to talk about what some of the problems are, but don't pretend. Are they better than sucrose? Sure they are. But are they sugar-free? No, they're not even close.
Are they better than sucrose, though? Yeah, maybe we'll answer that.
Probably. Honey is. Honey's got some genuine benefit to it as well. But it's sort of, and this is my line. If you need to sweeten something, sweeten it with honey. That's what I say.
Cool. I can get down with that, Chris.
Yeah, I thought you might.
Mm-hmm. So, you wanted to ask some hard-hitting questions. Should we take a break before we get into the hard-hitting questions?
You got it.
Let's do it.
Coming back at you on the Health Happens podcast, Mike and Chris talking about fructose.
Mm-hmm.
But first, this is the part of the show where we remind you or gently request, please give us a rating, download the podcast, help us out. It goes a long way and it means a lot to us.
Yeah, it would make me feel very happy inside. Yeah,
I think you said the same thing last time. I think you said it would make me feel happy inside. It's great. It would make me feel...
that's genuine.
It would make me feel like I just ate something sweet.
Yes.
And that's what we all want.
I just had some maple sugar.
Maple sugar.
Mm-hmm.
High. Have you ever tried? Let's get back to it right away. Have you ever actually tried straight high fructose corn syrup? Actually, you know what? I think the answer is yes, but you don't know it.
I don't. I've had it in stuff before, but just on its own.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had corn syrup. Like the one that comes in the yellow bottle? Is that high fructose corn syrup?
Oh, I think I don't know. I think it's pretty close.
If it is, then I've had that before.
Yeah. I think also, what do we call it? It's not molasses. It's, what's the other one that you get? So you're like, oh, maybe it is molasses.
Molasses is the stuff that they take. Fancy molasses. Molasses is the stuff they take out of refined sugar. That's why it's white.
Yeah.
And brown sugar, they keep the molasses in.
Yes. We won't go into this. Yes. Okay. I think
we won't go into it because we don't know the answer.
No, because we don't know the answer. But I have heard stuff. Okay. I've heard rumors about where that comes from.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of rumors when it comes to fructose.
There are. And we are going to try and set some of those straight. So you're right. I'm not so solid on my fancy molasses, but we did do our research pretty well on fructose. And I think we want to get right into it. Before we do, though.
Oh.
It's just cliffhanger after cliffhanger here.
Nope.
This is what I want to know. I want to throw this one out there because I think this is one of the main questions people have.
Okay, go
ahead. All right, Mike. I believe you that fructose is bad.
I didn't say that, but go ahead.
But what about fruits themselves?
Are fruits bad?
Are fruits bad?
No, fruits are not bad.
I agree. Fruits are not bad.
Mm-hmm. That's Were you it. Looking for something more controversial, or should I expand on that?
I think we want to expand on it a little bit because we gave our opinions and we feel good about them. But
we
some
still
people
have 25 minutes of this podcast. Okay, so here's what I'll say about that. When we're talking about fruits is not just, you know, a peel and underneath is just fructose. You don't just peel
crystalline
it away.
Fructose.
No, it's not that. Like, there's a lot of other things in there. There's there's some fiber, there's some polyphenols and flavonoids and all sorts of other good stuff, vitamins and minerals and
vitamins. This is the idea, right? This is why we crave the sweet taste, is that fruits were so instrumental in not even just human evolution, but like mammalian evolution, maybe more so with primates, that we are built to, when we eat a fruit, say, oh, this is good, because it contains a lot of vitamin C, which we know humans can't make independently.
Right.
So we crave.
That's where I was going to sort of stop you when you started talking about primates and other high mammalians, because they don't have that requirement for vitamin C the way we do.
Yeah. And so fruits certainly played a large role in human evolution. And it's probably why we crave the sweet taste. And, you know, fruit tastes good, but cheesecake tastes real good.
Well, that's the fat.
Oh, yeah, okay. But, like, icing tastes
But, no, I understand
good.
What you're saying. Like, this is a way that our body knows, hey, when I eat this, I'm going to top up my stores. And
that's
I need
right.
that to survive.
Yeah.
So I should tell my brain that this is good and I want more of it.
Yeah. So what is it? Is it bad to eat too much fruit? I'm going to ask you in a second, Mike, how much fruit is too much fruit? While you're pondering, I'm going to reveal the fructose content in some selected fruits.
Okay, I'll ponder.
Mike, I don't want to interrupt your pondering, but I'm going to. What do you think the number one is?
The number one fructose containing fruit?
The highest sugar fruit.
Pineapple.
No, you're totally wrong. But pineapples are very sweet. It's dates.
Oh, dates.
Huh? Yep, dates.
Okay.
Raisins are very high up there because
they're dehydrated.
Yeah, it's a bit of a
And
bit
I did
of a
say
cheat.
Grapes.
You
so
did
that's
say
like
grapes.
A half a point at least.
Yeah, I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
But here's also the thing. In no fruit is there really so much sugar. Like maybe if you eat an entire bag of dates, yes, that's going to be too much. Figs also quite high, but they're also a dehydrated fruit.
Yeah.
So often these are the two that I specifically mention to people. Like I'll say, don't go crazy. Don't have, well, I've been asking, so I don't want to put my numbers out there yet. Don't have too much of these things. And I'll name figs and dates, and then I'll say, yeah, go light on the pineapple, the mango, the tropical fruits.
Yeah, I think I would get on board with that. It's for me, I try to stay away from the things that are just mostly just sugar and water, and they don't have a lot.
Oh, you mean like fruit juice?
Well, definitely fruit juice. I do tell people to avoid fruit juice.
Yeah, okay. Let's...
Actually, I'm so much more adamant about it now that I've done a little bit more research specifically on this, that it's... I'm just going to say it. It's no better than soda pop.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't know if we would agree on this one, but I do tell people, nah, just don't get the fruit juice either.
Yeah.
You need to drink fluid, drink water.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, it's so boring. Yeah, but like, it's not bad for you. Like,
right, but what about, Chris, what about 100% pure organic fruit juice?
It's just got a lot of sugar in it. It's
but
that
it's
simple.
Organic.
Yeah, I know. I wrote this in our notes. Like, what... I pretty much what you just said. What if it's totally organic and all these great things? It's still got sugar in it.
Yeah,
and
it's the same.
Sugar, it's the same. Sugar's not good for your body. Once you cross a threshold of what you need, there are consequences
that's the key
to over
consuming. Right, say that again.
Once you cross the threshold of what you need, there are consequences.
To hear that.
There are consequences to having too much. And fruit juice delivers too much in one go.
Yeah. But that's it right there, right? When you reach your limit of how much sugar you can use in a day, everything above and beyond that is bad.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, it's a true example of like a therapeutic index or a therapeutic window. You need a certain amount.
Yep.
And then when you exceed a certain amount, you start to actually have toxicity and diabetes. Like that's what you get. I mean, there are other problems too, but too much sugar over too long a period of time, you develop diabetes.
Right. And maybe I'm going to spoil the ending of our podcast a little bit here, but I think when you do cross that threshold, that's when fructose and high fructose corn syrup becomes worse than other sugars. It's not when you're just feeding yourself to give you the sugars that you need, because your body will use it. But once you've topped up your stores and you're just eating because, you know, you're drinking a can of pop because you're, you know, sitting there doing nothing, but you've already met your caloric requirements, your energy requirements for the day. And this is just on top of that. That's when it becomes bad for you.
Oh yeah. And it sort of rapidly becomes bad for you.
Yeah.
And this, we'll toss this out there about fructose now, because fructose goes straight to the liver and it needs to be processed by the liver. When it's converted into fat, it mostly hangs out around the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. And I've seen this actually where we've got a fatty liver, and probably the only really great explanation is actually too much fruit juice.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons. I mean, the other big reason, of course, is insulin resistance. But
of course,
when you're talking about fatty liver, did we do a podcast on fatty liver?
We will.
If we haven't, we need to.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's a silent killer.
And that's hypertension, Chris.
Oh, didn't we find like 10 others on that episode?
Yeah, there's a lot of silent killers.
Some of them were hilarious.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that was one of our better bits. If you want to check out, it's a good podcast overall, but there's a pretty good bit on like the other silent killers.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
I forgot where I was going. You got me off track a little bit there.
What was it I asked you to ponder a few minutes ago?
You asked me to ponder how much fruit is enough fruit or too
much
fruit.
Oh yeah, let's answer that. Let's get that right out on the table.
I think I kind of already answered it because
I don't believe you.
I can't give you an answer. It's you're. Too much fruit is the next piece of fruit after you've reached your limit, your threshold. How's that?
That doesn't sound like something you can write on a sheet of paper and give to a patient.
It doesn't, because that's a thing, right? I just say, I don't put limits like eat this much of this and eat that much of that. You just meet your requirements.
I will put a limit on the total pieces of fruit someone can have a day. Mostly because mostly because they're asking me to do that.
All right.
They're saying, six. Okay. So, oh, wow, really? I'm nowhere near that. I'm like two.
What? That's crazy. Fruit's really good for you. Two servings of fruit.
Yeah. But I say that only because usually it's in the context of they're giving up sugar and you may as well go.
Okay, if you're giving up sugar, that's a totally different thing. But I'm talking in the context of just a regular diet
life?
And you're not, you know, treating anything. You're just trying to live healthy. Fully.
Well, I'd totally change my answer to three in that case.
Okay. Well, I would stick with six. Sure. You can eat six pieces of fruit.
Oh, I couldn't. I wouldn't feel good if I had that much fruit.
I think you could. Well, you wouldn't, but you claim to be fruit intolerant in some cases.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I do, yeah. But not fructose intolerant, which we should name what that is now.
Oh, right. Fructose intolerance is a different kind of thing. Like lactose intolerance?
It is actually very similar. You don't get the intense stomach pain and cramping, but you get the other primary symptoms of gas
bloating, maybe
stink
a little
machine.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, you can get a little diarrhea too, but mostly it's the stink that people.
The stink.
Yeah.
So it's like lactose intolerance's little brother.
Okay. Which is also a sugar. So they really are very similar. It's a really easy comparison there.
Yeah. But we should describe it a little bit. It basically means your body can't break down.
I mean, it can't break down. It's more like it can't absorb fructose.
Can't absorb it,
And therefore, more of it gets further down, and fructose is a fermentable carbohydrate.
Oh, yeah. So bacteria love that.
And so that's what makes the stink box.
Right.
You like that?
I do, the stink box. Yep. Very medical term here.
I feel like as time progresses, I'm getting less and less medical and more just like opinion.
It's like you could write your own medical dictionary, yes, but you just take medical terms and like sub in your...
It's true. Words. The facts are mostly accurate. I just use better words.
Yeah, funnier anyway.
Funnier words. Okay. So I'm glad that we mentioned that because I wanted to get that out there because that's a real thing. After that, we agree generally that fruit is good for you.
Yes.
And where did we want to go after that?
I think you wanted to start asking some of your hard-hitting questions about fructose that everybody wants to know.
Oh, I think we already did some of them. Okay, here's the main one, though. Here's the main one. Will eating too much fructose make me fat?
No.
It won't?
Not eating too much fructose. Eating too much sugar can make you fat.
But also too much fructose.
Yes. Well, I guess if you say too much, as in you pass your threshold. Yes, of course. Any sugar that you eat too much of will make you fat because your body then needs to store it and it stores it as fat. Of course. Yes. And it may be worse for you than glucose because glucose is more readily used by your muscle cells and other cells that need that as a primary form of energy. Whereas this extra stuff that is fructose is going straight to your liver and then will become glycogen. And once you've topped that out, and we're assuming that's the case because you said too much, then starts to become fat triglycerides and starts raising your cholesterol and all sorts of things like that. So I think that's where a lot of people come up with this idea that high fructose corn syrup is bad for your liver. It damages your liver.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Yep.
Right. And people, you know, they take it too far. Yeah.
It's almost true. Like that's kind of close to correct.
Yeah. It's kind of close to correct. But then people are like, well, you shouldn't have ketchup because there's high fructose corn syrup in ketchup and high fructose corn syrup is bad for your liver.
Yeah.
Therefore ketchup is bad for your liver.
That's not correct.
No, you know how much, right? Like it's a tiny, tiny, tiny amount in there. So,
yeah. Mike, what should we do about this?
What should we do about it? We should educate people, which we did this podcast.
That's what we're aiming
for. No, but really, I mean, first of all, what I think we should do is, yes, try to educate people as much as possible, help them understand how much sugar they're taking in, which is way more than they really need.
Yeah, but the real answer to that question was sugar tax.
Sugar tax is not, well, is that going to work?
A
soda tax, maybe, but in a lot of places of the world, they make soda with sucrose.
Yeah.
Is that going to fix the fructose problem? No.
Well, I think we should just have a grams of sugar tax.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what you put it in. Everything, foods, drinks, all
of it. I'm trying not to let this turn into just a sugars podcast.
I know you are.
To be about fructose specifically.
Yeah. Okay.
So what do we do? We educate people and realize that, high fructose corn syrup is a little bit worse than sucrose.
Yeah.
Like a little bit.
A little bit worse. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And I like that you're trying to prevent it from turning into something about sugar. For me, it's exactly the same.
I know. It's hard to separate because that's what it is. It is about sugar.
Yeah. Right? But I think it is true. It's important to also say it's a little bit worse, but all of it is actually really bad.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And, here's a good question. What are the other ways that you see added sugar advertised on packaging? I've seen some clever stuff.
I'm not sure what you're getting at.
Well, you see like organic cane juice extract.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I see brown rice syrup quite a bit.
Sure.
And it's sort of like, does all just the same stuff.
Yeah. They just name a different, you know, source.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, well, it comes from brown rice. Brown rice is super healthy. Yeah. So this must be good for you.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's here's what I will say personally, and you're right. It's all it's really about is look at the grams of sugar and what you're eating. Forget about glucose, fructose, sucrose, all these other things. Look at that number and it should be small. You know what? I started to see this on packaging. Have you seen this lately where they say they have the RDAs and then they say this much is a little, this much is a lot.
No,
I have seen that.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool. I like it because, you know, like who knows, right? You could say, so I don't know if I've seen it for sugar, but I'm going to use it as the example. It might say 9 grams of sugar. That's what it contains. Underneath it, it will say 9 grams of sugar is a little, 16 grams of sugar is a lot. Or it might say like 4 grams is a little and 25 is a lot.
That's kind of cool.
It gives you a reference range.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, right? Like, I have no idea.
Right.
So someone somewhere has mandated that reference ranges must be put onto a package and put them on.
And they're starting to do it for sugar because that was the one that they never had.
Oh, I don't know if they're doing it for sugar. I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I would like to see it.
Like they have it for sodium and they have it for all your vitamins and things like that. But yeah, when it comes to sugar, no, they don't give you a recommended amount because we're all eating way too much.
Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Another thing that came up with fructose, I'm not sure if you came across this, is the way that it affects your appetite.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So specifically, it affects two hormones. There's leptin and there's ghrelin.
Yeah, those are like, let's just pause there and say, like, ghrelin is the coolest named hormone.
I love it. Yeah. It sounds like a gremlin.
Of course, that's why we love it.
Yeah, but so the way I remember it is when your tummy's growling, that's ghrelin.
Yes.
Yeah. So ghrelin increases your appetite and leptin basically suppresses.
Turns it off. Yeah.
It tells you I've had enough.
Satiation signal is usually what
they
say.
Yes. Yes.
Fructose produces less of a satiation signal than
it does.
Sucrose.
Yeah. So that can be dangerous, right? If you're eating way too much fructose, you're not getting that signal to tell your body, I've had enough.
Yeah.
And I need to stop eating, or I don't need to keep eating.
Yes.
I think that's a better way to put it.
Yep.
But if you are eating sucrose, something that's flavored with sugar, you're more likely to get that signal sooner than if it's flavored with something higher in fructose.
Yes, those are true statements. I came across that as well. There are other significant players in the signalers of those, and those include proteins and fats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is very, very important in terms of managing people that are overweight and obese.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's significant because there's not a lot of those either in fruit.
No, it's fruit is basically like antioxidants, sugar, water, and fiber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here's another thing I wanted to add. When people ask me if they can have more fruit, I don't say fruits and vegetables anymore. I say vegetables and fruits.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I say it. I just reposition them because I want people to have more vegetables and less fruit.
Yep.
Yeah, I do that.
I like it. I like it. I think it would be wise for people to focus on vegetables over fruit.
Oh, we need so many more vegetables in our lives. Yeah. I think I might have even said this on air before. Like, if everyone on the planet got enough vegetables, there'd be no war.
Yeah, that's not true.
I think it's close.
Bad people eat lots of vegetables.
Do they, Mike? We don't know that. I think they eat fried chicken. I think they just like eat chicken and stuff on sticks. And I think like it's all barbecued.
Sure. So it's all bad people that like the CNE is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad people go to the CNE.
Probably ball games too. I think bad people go there.
Yeah.
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 I mean, when I'm feeling my most evil, I just eat grilled meats. what's going to keep this mood going?
What's that?
Meat on a stick.
Meat on a stick would be delicious right now.
Yes. Okay.
But it wouldn't contain fructose.
No.
Unless it's honey glazed.
Yeah.
And it would.
It might.
And then it would be bad for you. No, it wouldn't. Because then you'd still be getting your signal for being satiated.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we might have said this once before, but I'd like to chuck this out there. Sushi, not sashimi, not the actual fish itself, but sushi rice, very high in sugar.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The sticky rice is actually not high in sugar. It's just glutinous rice, but it doesn't contain gluten either. It's just a type of rice. Yeah. But I've watched them pour gigantic amounts of sugar into the rice that gets used in sushi.
It's not the rice itself.
No, it's the sugar that's added. Like a lot of sugar is added to sushi rice.
Huh.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
People actually like it.
Yeah, because it's good.
This tastes good. It doesn't taste like raw fish to me.
Yeah. All right, Mike, what else do we want to say about fructose?
What else do we want to say about fructose? I don't think I have much more. I'm pretty much tapped.
Like a maple syrup tree?
Way to bring it around.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Yeah. Like that. Yeah, no, I feel pretty good about it. I think we've talked about it and I think we've drawn, let's get your last word conclusion. I think we're in agreement here.
I think we're in agreement that fructose and high fructose corn syrup are not the enemy. Empty calories are the enemy.
Oh,
empty sugars are the enemy. Too much of them are the enemy. That's what affects your liver. That's what affects your kidneys and your cardiovascular system and makes you fat, and that's the problem. It's not that we have too much fructose. It's not that they're adding high fructose corn syrup to keep us fat. It's that we're making poor choices and we're eating too much sugar.
Oh, Mike, that was the best answer I've heard you give on the show yet.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm not going to add anything
to
that.
Give us
really
a little bit.
No, I love what you said. The beginning was the best, where you said empty calories are the enemy. Fructose is not the problem. We eat too much sugar. Your problem.
We do.
Excellent. Let's wrap it up there.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Would you say, if somebody's like, hey, is agave nectar worse than sugar? What would you say?
Maybe a little bit, but they're pretty equivalent.
They are.
Yeah.
Really? Even with the 97% fructose?
Well, like it's a little bit worse, but all right. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm just trying to goad you into saying something controversial.
No.
All right. It didn't work today, but maybe next week. So join us next week as we continue with the Health Happens podcast. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on any other app that you like to get your podcast. Please go give us a ranking. Please go give us a comment. We really, really appreciate that. And as you know, it warms my heart. Follow us on Twitter at HHPcast. Go to our website, hhpcast.com. Until next week, I'm Mike Fresina, and that's Chris Pickerel.
Stay sweet.